Thank you very much, Chair. Distinguished panelists, ambassadors, distinguished Secretary General, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you greetings on behalf of the Secretary General of CARICOM Secretariat, who is sorry he couldn't be here this morning, but I have the honor to speak on this panel on his behalf. In the time available to me, I would focus first on the general perspectives of regional organizations in conflict prevention and peace building. Then I wish to address some remarks to the CARICOM priorities in this area, and then to deal with, in particular, the linkages that can be fostered by certain initiatives, including functional cooperation between regional institutions and civil society. And then just end with some general issues that I believe would have to draw the attention for future focus. Indeed, when we look at what we mean by resolving conflicts, it is very important that there are some different types of interventions related to different types of conflicts. In the formation of conflicts, there is need for early warning. In the escalation of conflicts, there is need for crisis intervention. And then in the enduring time of conflict, there is need for empowerment and mediation. And in this regard, civil society could play a most important role, as it could in the context of the improvement, the revival of peaceful relations between antagonists and creating perspectives related to problem solving and prevention. But I think that in the final analysis for systems, national, regional, and international systems, to reflect peace and prevention, that there must be institutional changes and different perspectives of how there are harmonious relationships. Indeed, when we look at the conflict formation phase, how it is initiated, what is perceived as a disjuncture between actors in any given social and political system. And conflict prevention, I think, which is perhaps most important in the way that we need to proceed, means controlling the situation where clashing goals exist in order to avoid the development of the escalation of violence. Most studies imply that there's very little recognition across the globe for early warning indicators. Only recently, as part of the Millennium Development Goals, have serious discussions started at the UN on the development of early warning capabilities and the need for preventive diplomacy. Regional organizations, seems to me, are critical players in preventive diplomacy and the provision of peace and security, especially in the area of the Americas. This is so because they bring together national authorities based on established protocols or treaties or procedures that are aimed at varying levels of integration. And indeed, it is very important that integration, which is the aim of most regional organizations, would be difficult in the context where peace does not prevail. There's also the allied nature and degree of success in aspects of regional economic development and increasing intra-regional agreements. For example, the provision of mediation in a number of conflict situations that really can be brought to bear in the ambit of a region. So, for example, currently in the region of Latin America and the Caribbean, a series of these conflict resolution activities are occurring in areas such as trafficking in drugs and small arms in humans. All these contribute to the increased internal civil violence, which could spill over into violence among countries. More recently, the highly regarded operation of MINUSCA in Haiti, for example, has been considered by many as a good example of successful collaboration between governments in the hemisphere, the OAS, the UN, and civil organizations, and I must add, and in some instances, the CARICOM community. Yet there remains barriers, and it's particularly noted that these barriers occur when the emphasis is placed strictly on bilateralism rather than multilateralism and multilateral approaches. And it is being argued that, from the point of view of CARICOM, that it is the multilateral approaches that are sustainable. In the context of our hemisphere, bilateralism takes place largely with the US as a pivot. And although this occurs in relation also to trade agreements tied to peacekeeping, yet it is important to note that all studies show that this is not the most sustainable arrangement. Now, when we look at what is happening in the context of the regional institutions with the OAS identified as a pivotal point, there is a general perception that the Organization of American States is consistently and proactively involved in responding to conflict throughout Latin America and the Caribbean, with the UN most often playing a secondary role to the OAS. But I think that when we examine this carefully, what it means, that there's also a perception of the OAS, the perception that the OAS frames its engagement as promoting democratization and human rights rather than promoting peace and security or prevention of conflicts per se. This is perhaps why, when we look at the language of most declarations, prevention and peacekeeping are more implicit and nuanced than they ought to be. However, it seems very important for us to look more carefully, and I want to give some examples of the Caribbean community, which, in a sense, is not necessarily very well known, but to me provides some good lessons that we could discuss here as panelists as we move forward in the agenda on peace building. Within the dynamics of conflict resolution and peace building, the Caribbean community really offers some interesting experiences towards problem solving, mediation, and prevention. In the first instance, security has been elevated as the fourth pillar of the community alongside economic integration, foreign policy coordination, and human and social development. This now involves a revision of the Treaty of Chaguaramas to incorporate security dimensions which are currently being undertaken by the Legal Affairs Committee. But what is more is that the Caribbean community in 2006 approved a new architecture for the regional security development with the establishment of the Council for National Security and Enforcement, the Security Policy Executive Committee, and the Implementation Agency for Crime and Security. Now, the effectiveness of the new architecture is nowhere better illustrated than its role in the execution of Cricket World Cup in 2007, which has left a legacy of peacekeeping and conflict resolution structures and functions. And I think this is very significant as we look at models that have developed in a regional context. But the paradox, really, is that notwithstanding the legacy, CARICOM has not capitalized fully on the movement triggered by the World Cup experience to consolidate the security system that has potentials to be a model of peacekeeping and conflict resolution. Building such a system obviously requires a massive investment in personnel, in equipment, in capacity building, in management structures, and by implication, cooperation with international partners, especially the consistent support that was received from Canada and to a lesser extent the US in building that viability that was sustained during World Cup cricket. A high-level CARICOM US policy forum is planned for early 2010. And I think it is important for CARICOM to raise the issue again with US about taking forward these dynamics and dimensions of regional integration. Well, indeed, when we look at the Caribbean again, it's very important to note that what has emerged in the context of the discussions is the value of the variable geometry of regional coordination. By this I mean that in the regional movements, some commentators are very perturbed by the fact that there are different competing regional strands in the OECS, Central, the SICA, to which involves Belize, UNISOR, which involves Guyana and Suriname, ALBA, involving Dominica and St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And many commentators see this as a disparate attempt that could erode regionalism and therefore any thrust towards, by implication, peacekeeping and peace building. However, in a most persuasive article by Professor Dennis Benn, Sovereignty Tipping Between the Raindrops, he indicated, and which I support, that by permitting the concentric activities to reinforce each other in an overlapping set of relationships between CARICOM and other regional institutions, one has an ability to create synergies across the region in a way that would not necessarily be possible. So you see, the cup is half full, but the cup in other interpretations is half empty. And this brings me to the final point, that dealing with the concentric circles is one thing, but incorporating civil society in the dynamics of a partnership for peacekeeping is another. And again, the CARICOM community offers an illustration in sub-regional activity. Because as early as 1998, the CARICOM community developed a CARICOM charter on civil society. And that charter really has what I call the essence of a vibrant integration of civil society in community organization that could do several things, including peacekeeping. And I don't have the time to go into that. Only to say that, in fact, when we look at the charter of the CARICOM Secretariat and the movements have developed so far, and they have been very slow in developing towards maturity, but one good idea has emerged, that is a CARICOM Council on Civil Society with a variety of aims, including conflict resolution. And in this context, Chair, I would end here by saying that herein is an opportunity for a regional perspective on peacekeeping, incorporating civil society to blend with and fit with the global partnership for prevention of armed conflict, which also has various branches in Latin America and in Central America, and therefore provides a good opportunity that the discussion in which we are embarked today would have its tentacles in those organizations that are linked through a regional and a multilateral organization as the Global Partnership for the Prevention of Armed Conflict. Time does not permit me to make a summary, Chair, but only to say two things. One, that I believe that if this we are to have any meaningful outcomes, that I think that we have to focus on establishing common indicators that states, regional organizations, civil society, and the security and development communities could agree on. We need to create an enabling environment where different actors involved in achieving peace and security in the region work together in developing early warning concepts. We need to develop regional organizations, governments, and civil society working together in confronting the emergent security threats and harmonizing the threat perceptions of different regional actors. And finally, we need to ensure that regional organizations assume responsibility for coordinating and improving the actions of different regional actors and creating a systematic regional approach to preventive action. Thank you very much.